Yirus Hashem, someone who whose nene from his own avoider gets is greater than someone who has Yirus Shemayim. And we said why? Because he understands that it's the Yegia Kopov, its own internal goal. Chutz mi the matara of the Hishtadlis making panosa, which it doesn't do. The Hishtadlis has its own intrinsic goal. And he does it because of that. So that the Maharal says, because that's Avos Hashem, that's what's greater than a Yirus Shemayim. Not that he's nene from the Toitzah of the Gias Kopov, he's nene from the Gias Kopov itself. He's nene from the Ishtadlis itself, because he understands the Ishtadlis has its own purpose, Minayobe. Then we spoke about kosher panosa. Now we spoke about this in the light of the Chasam Sofer that says that one of the two nisyonas that prevented the 80% of climbing out of Mitzrayim was the nisyon of kosher panosa. We spoke about this many times. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, go look at the Chasam Sofer in Parshas B'Shalach. There he discusses the fact that one of the things prevented 80% of Klal Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim was the Nisoyin of Kosher Panosa, and that's going to be the Nisoyin before Mashiach comes. We mentioned that today in the Olam HaTorah, a big chunk of the Hishtadlis for Panosa falls on the shoulders of the woman, and Kuf Tzadik Tes, that we spoke about this question of where they should be making Hishtadlis for Panosa. If it's not a place where a Bas Yisrael should be, then what's she doing there? How are you going to build and support Kedushas HaTorah through Mammon that's earned in dodgy ways? He was asked the following Shaila by Beis Yaakov in America. If you don't like the story, you can always just say, yeah, that's America. She had a deep yearning to marry a Ben Torah. His father wasn't frum, she was obviously Baal Teshuva, and the father wasn't going to support him. And she had very little chance of finding work as a teacher. Should she go and learn in university the fine art of computers? $90,000 She'll be able to make $90,000 a year. I don't know what that was then today. Be able to make a nice living. She'll be able to then save and be able to marry a Ben Torah. She'll then be able to support her husband. He'll be able to sit and learn, because that's what she wants. That's her question. She explained during, she was telling the story about the two Aiter Chayke Miyadat. She was very far from Yiddishkeit as a child. V'rak l'acher she gedalti mat begil 12 zechiti leknis lebeis Yaakov. She got to 12. She was zeicher to go into Beis Yaakov. Ma'az ishtalti lineg kebas Yisrael k'sheira. Since then, I've always tried to keep myself as a kosher bas Yisrael. Einu roitze liyoit cheshufa shuv lehev leboilam hazeh v'liyois mureves bein hagoyim. She doesn't. She doesn't want to have all the freedoms of the world of this world, and she didn't want to be kef shaychus with the goyim. Imalech leloid b'universita kol atzniyas shebaniti va'omul v'yizeh b'meshach shanim tiyeh netuna b'sakana. All the tzniyas that I built and worked and struggled to develop is going to be endangered. Lechein shalti im lelechet lilmoid b'universita lenesele ben toira. Go to university and marry a Ben Torah. All a chapes avoid a pshuta linase yudi oived she'enu toroi semunoso. Or should she marry an elecha balabos? An honest Ben Torah. What should she do? What should she do? What should she do? No? Marry an elecha balabos. Marry an elecha balabos. Lo yedati malon... You know what she's giving up? You know, she's giving up and on marrying a guy sitting and learning, and she's supporting her ben Torah and learning. She's not giving, it's Bisakana. She's not giving up her to university. She's Bisakana, doesn't mean she's going to.
She may come out of university.
She's Bisakana. She's Bisakana. Lo yedati mala notla. I don't know what to tell her. Shakakti ma'at v'achra hamati lo. I kept quiet and afterwards I told her. Avucha ein li tshuva. I can't give you an answer. Ulam im abad sheli ayisa shoyle soiti et ha-shayla hazu. If this was my daughter asking me this question, הייתי אומר לנושא לבעל הכווה העיתים לתוירה למרות שאין תורוס המנוסה. I would have told her to marry somebody who's כווה העיתים לתוירה even though he wasn't learning the whole time. ואפילו לבעל שאולמה לפנוסה בעבודה בזוי. Even if you have to marry someone who makes פנוסה out of a lowly פנוסה. סלילס כבישים. Very good, that works on the road gangs, you know, digs ditches or whatever. אך קובעי איתים לתוירה בלבד שאת לא תלכי ללמוד באוניברסיטה. Don't go learn in university. ולא תקלקל את התואר של כל כבדה בזמלך פנימה. Don't destroy your כל כבדה בזמלך פנימה. אין זה דחר של דעס יהודית. That's not the way of a bus Israel. But he wasn't prepared to answer her. He wasn't prepared to answer her. He wasn't. He wasn't. Listen, let's finish. Let's tell her. הייתי אומר לביתי, I would have told my daughter, אם הקדוש ברוך הוא לא זיקה אותך בבעל בן תוירה, אין הדובר באשמתך. השם didn't, if you didn't get married to a בן תוירה, it's not your fault. את שאפת לכך, את שאפת לכך, you yearned for it, you wanted it. לא, הקדוש ברוך הוא מזב הגזירו, וזו רצינה. השם wants, he makes שידוכים, that's his רצון. אין זה מתפקידנו לדואג לכך. It's not our job to worry about things like that. התפקיד שלי לדואג שביתי תשעה בעס ישראל כשירה וצנועה. My job and your job is to make sure you do what you have to do. אבל לך פניתי לא תבאס, אבל לך פניתי לא יסבאת, אני לא יכל לפסוק. זה אחראיס גדול למועד. That's enormous אחראיס. I'm not prepared to take אחראיס for such a thing. הן של ביתך והן של כל הדוירה שבלודים ממך. Not for you and not for all the generations that have come from you. הצעתי אני שואל את שהציג את שלושה לפני אחד מגדולי הדור. תקשיב שואל את אחד מגדולי הדור או אחד מגדולי הדור. ואכן הלכתי לגאון רב שמעון שוואב זצ"ל, שהרב של וושינגטון הייטס, והתלמיד של הגאון הצדיק רבי רוחן ממיר זצ"ל. רב שמעון שוואב הוא רב שמעון שוואב. סיפרתי לו את הדברים והצגתי לפונה וזו שאלה האם עליה ללכת ללמוד באוניברסיטה תוך כדי סיכון האצילוס של בס ישראל וכל זה כדי לנושא תלמוד חוכם או לעבוד עבוד פשוטה והסתפק בבעל המספר נס ומגיע קופוב. What should you do? הגאון הצדיק רב שמעון שתק, he kept quiet. הוא אומר שאיני יכול לפסוק בשאלה זו. זו שיילס חיים השקופס בעיה גורלית. It's a massive, massive שיילס, made up of many complex discussions. אך כששומעים מפי את תשובוסי שלי, I then told him what I told her, what I would have told my daughter, מה הייתי מועץ לשאלס, לו הייתי ביתי, it was my daughter, הוא אמר, אכן הנך צודק במאה אחוזים. You're 100% right. וכך אמנם יש לענות לבס ישראל, אני רוצה לטעון את בס ישראל. אלא שמפאת העובדה שיש כאן הירו השני מארץ השער של דורנו, איני יכול לפסוק. פוחד אני. Since you're asking me to pasken against the psak of the hero shah of our generation, I'm too scared to pasken. But you're right, that's what you should tell her. But no, I'm not making a psak here. It's a massive question this. For it's poshut. If it's my daughter, it's a double poshut. No, he didn't. He told you, I'm not prepared to paskin. I'm not prepared to paskin.
But that's not the Rosh Hashanah then. The Rosh Hashanah is not going to be told to put it to the Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah
is not going to be told to the Rosh Hashanah. I don't understand as much as you don't understand. Sir? The fact that I don't understand Reb Shimon Schwab is not a bug, that's a feature. That's good that I don't understand it. If I would have done what he did with his laugh, and then I could talk about understanding, not understanding him. I don't understand his toenails, I don't get up to. What was he scared of? What was he? Chaystish. Lenias dated to double poshu. It's like a man asking him, should he do something in the gray area of Panosa? Should he do things that are not osele gamre, but gam loko kap mayachuz, in order to make a Panosa? What's the question? How can Ishtadlis be something that goes connected to the Rotsin Hashem, with the whole purpose of Ishtadlis to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim? I'm getting Mechal Shem Shemayim to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. So it's a law. It's a stira mina yobay. So I don't understand what the difficulty in answering this question.
The question is, what's the consequence of this one? That means if she doesn't work, what will happen? I don't know. They have no...
You marry somebody who works. Let him make the Ishtadlis for the Panosa. Not maybe. We're not talking about ones that did it already. She went to university, became a doctor, now she'll follow where she works today. Once again, okay, so you're asking another question. Once again, you're asking another question. Eliyahu Novi made his big test with the Ovdei Habaal. So the Pasuk says, what did he do? He told them, we're going to bring two Kobonas. You choose one, I'll choose one. We didn't have to choose once they chose, you know. And then you'll bring your Korban and we'll see. Don't put fire there and we'll see where the Eish comes and takes that Korban. So that's you telling the truth. There's a whole arichas here about that. They were twins. These two cows were twins. They had to be twins. They had to be identical. This whole story that says, the Pasuk says that Eliyahu told them, choose the cow, choose the par. You choose the par. And the next Pasuk is, Eliyahu gave them the par. The Midrash picks us up straight away. What are you talking about? It says that Eliyahu told them to choose it. So why is he giving it to them? So the Midrash says the par didn't want to go. I'm not going to the whole story of the Maharal brings out some very important lessons here, which I'm not going to enter. I just want to show you the Nakuda here. The Pa didn't want to go. Why not? Because the Pa said, didn't say it, but the Pa said, because had the Pa spoken, that would have been enough of an ace. You didn't need the fight to come out from Shemayim. The Pa, that's the old Maharal there. I'm not going to that. The Pa said, what are you talking about? I grew up, I was in the same womb, and I ate from the same trough as my brother, and I'm going to go up to the Baal, and he's going to go to the Kiddush, he's going to go to Hashem. I'm not prepared to go. I don't want to be the par for the Baal. Anyway, Eliyahu Novi had to persuade him and tell him whatever that you're going to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, and through you the Kiddush Hashem will come and whatever. He said, fine, I'm not going. If you give me to them, I'll go. But I'm not going on my own. Heard from Gedolei Yisrael from this lesson, it's a whole Gevaldike Shir on its own, the story with the Baal. But this Nakuda, that he wouldn't go on his own, But sometimes a Kiddush Hashem has to happen. If you get sent by the God Lador, you get sent by your Rov, you have to go. For example, we need a Kiddush Hashem Shemayim to be made through Jewish doctors, Jewish lawyers, Jewish people doing whatever Jewish people need to do. We need that Kiddush Hashem. And there were Gedolei Yisrael that told Talmidim of theirs to go study at university and become psychiatrists and doctors and whatever needed to be. If your Rav tells you to go, you'll be Mayach Chudim Etzliach. There were people Rav Hutna sent, Rav Simcha Wasserman sent, to go learn these professions. You don't make a moisset for it, you don't make a shitta out of it. But if you're sent by the God, your Yorov sent you to do it, with 100% matzliach. If you go on your own bet and you don't know shalas, you probably won't be matzliach. You'll get damaged. Just switch this off for a second. Friends were lawyers before they became free. Yeah? I also became a lawyer before I became free. But when the Seinu Arabi. Anyway, so what should you do about that now? Well, my Rebbe told me you should go work as a lawyer. That's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you. There's women out there that today they're being managed from Kaddish Shem Shemayim by working as doctors. Mama Yabazin. If it's done with Das Torah, it's done and she knows what she's doing, whatever, of course she should do that. I'm not answering specific cases. But why not? There was a Jewish woman, a doctor in South Africa, a woman doctor who was Makadish. Ada Yomazeh is Makadish Shem Shemayim, gewaltig through the work she does. Fiona is not a Makadish Shem Shemayim. I don't know, Rabbani that a Makadish Shem Shemayim as much as her. I don't know if she's from a car of more people than the Kiruv professionals. When in New York, we had an interesting Shala that Rav had there from one of his woman doctor congregants. She's a pediatrician. Very often people have babies and they don't want to do a bris. Or they do a bris on the third day, the fourth day with a doctor. They don't do a proper bris. They do what's called a circumcision in the hospital. She checks up the patients later, should she do a tophus dam bris? As a woman doctor, an opportunity to... Why not? What's the problem with that? If it's done properly. Rav Pinkus was once giving a shir in New York to the mothers of Beis Yaakov girls, and he was talking about tznias. And he was saying, you have to find your daughters a place to work that's tznua. He gave a whole shir about this, about sending girls to work in places that are not tznua, whatever. Well, what's the chap? My is it. So one woman asked him, what job should they do? He said, what's wrong with being a teacher? So they said, but there's not enough jobs for all the girls. He said, my daughter's not all the girls. I don't have to find a job for all the girls. I have to find a job for my daughter. There's not one job for a teacher out there? Afterwards, you want to come and ask him and you want to go find an organization to help girls find that. That's something else. But your first responsibility is to your child. Where's your child working? And by the way, the children don't listen too much. You can have children who are doing things you prefer they weren't doing. Whatever you think they're going to listen. It's also, that's another story, but that's their bechira. But Avada, that's the chinuch. I know Gedolei Yisrael, Israeli Choshev Rabbonim that have told husbands to go work. Avreichim. In one case, the guy came to the Rav to complain that Davka, when he gets home, between, you know, Ma'ariv and Naat Seder, there's a very short window of time to use a phone. Today, I don't think this is a shali anymore because everyone's got six phones. But in those days, they used to have a phone in the house. Whatever, it was cheaper to phone at night than in the day, whatever was whole. Having a phone in Israel was a ganze protect your business, whatever. Until they realized if we give you phones and let you talk, they can make a lot of money out of it. Can you imagine there was one phone company in this country 30 years ago, and you couldn't get a phone out of them. Today there's about 15 phone companies in the country, and they give you phones for free. They're chapped on, the communist way doesn't work. Just give people phones and they'll talk. Rather than have to prove that you've got protection until you get a phone 3 years, well, dude, then you get a phone. Yeah. Anyway, so this guy's tying it to the Rav was, is that when he comes home, that's when he can use the phone. And that's when his wife is on the phone. What should he do? So the Rav said, get another phone. What's the problem? He said, but I can't afford it. So he said, get a job. Go get a job. He's talking to an Avreich. This is the Rav of a very Haredi Israeli community. The Rav told me himself, I told him, go get a job. That's the best time for your wife to talk on the phone. Obviously, that's when she wants to be on the phone. So what are you going to tell her? Not to speak on the phone. Get another phone. You can't afford one. Go get a job and buy a new phone. I mean, these are posh things. We get confused, unfortunately, but not understanding the principles behind the sukkah. If you understand that these shtadlers, these only shtadlers, has nothing to do with the panasa. For some strange reason, which we don't fully understand, And there's not one godel that ever disagreed with us. The women have to make that ishtadlis today. If the husband wants to sit and learn, that's what you have to do. But that's where the harasha ends. The harasha doesn't say go do work that's osa or grey or dodgy or why should I? Nachon, and she didn't. No, if Rav Shimon Traube turned around to her and told her, get university, it's fine, gesundheit, whatever, not prepared to take a class for that. They work at Doilin that way. I don't know about girls. They were Doilin that sent boys to, that sent men to university. There's a top professor of psychiatry, I think at Cornell or whatever, who's a Talmud, one of the Talmudim who vokim of the Mirror Rosh Hashiva. And he's in the forefront of a lot of the Haredi battles going in America today, the mental health issues and the drugs and all that stuff. He's one of the main antagonists of that. He was sent to do that by the Mirror Rosh Hashiva. I'm saying that. But you go on your own, you're in a lot of trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. You go with a harol, with a psak from a rodel, that's what you need to do. It's like that in everything. But yeah, it's very, very stark. It comes up from this story with Eliyahu, it comes up very, very strong.
I have a friend of mine who's
learning. You can answer, sorry, one second. You can use this story with Eliyahu. The Maharal answers there how Moshe was able to make a shvur to give his son to Avodah Zorah. That's the whole. That's the Moedika. Yeah, what?
I have a friend of mine who's learning three stone a day for a long time, years and years, and he was doing a bit of work on the side, nothing much. And he has a big rav that he goes to for like all kinds of shilohs, and he said, I'm fed up with being in the minus, I need to go work already. So he left what he was doing to go work full time for like 6 months. After 6 months, he said it completely destroyed him. He went to a so-called firm place to work, but the attitude was like it was 11 o'clock at night and he hadn't finished his quota. If you haven't finished it, he said, look, I've got to go, I've got to do Marif. Like, what do you mean Marif? You still work to, there's no Marif. This is in a firm place, right? No, it's nothing.
Could be, it's a halacha.
He said he went there after 6 months.
It's the halacha.
He left there after 6 months completely destroyed. And his words were, he realized to me his biggest mistake, why it didn't go well, was because he never asked his rav when he did this. He just did it on his own and never asked. That was his words to me.
Sometimes you don't even ask a rav. Just first start with asking someone who's objective. Recognize that you're not objective. You have vested interests. First, ask somebody who's objective. Just get some clarity before you even go to a rov. Just ask somebody who's objective. You may be able to solve the problem for yourself pretty quickly. If you realize what's driving you. And by the way, the psak is not clear. I know Rav Tetz told me this. There were two people that went to ask Rav Simcha Wasserman the exact same shaila on the same day and got totally opposing psak. The famous Maimon by Rav Hutner as well. Two of his Talmidim came to him. They wanted to go study at university because they want to go involved in chinuch or whatever. And Rav Hutner told the one to go, but on condition he goes to the best university he can get. And he said he can't afford it. Rav Hutner said, I'll pay the difference. If you're going, you're going to do it properly. And the Chavrusa came in and asked him the same shalom. Rav Hutner said to him, if you put one step out of the best midrash, I won't let me out of Gehenna. The same shalom to this, the same day to two people that had been learning together for 15 years. Is it tzach? Same shalom came to Rav Simcha Wasserman. Two guys were going out to do chinuch. They wanted to know whether they should go study how to be mechanchim or whatever. Rav Simcha told the one, you don't need to, and the other one he told, you better go study. Okay. V'achein harasha lepia tepanosa b'nei Yisrael shein beis Yaakov v'bnei Yisrael. This factor that we have, that the Hirosho, that girls, the Beis Yaakov goes out to work, the Bnei Yisrael can sit and look. That was a psak from Gedoyle Ador after the Holocaust. By the way, my Rebbe told me that if when your wife goes out to work, I don't have that problem, but when your wife goes out to work to support the family, if you don't shed a tear every morning when she goes out, then you go work. If you think it's a lechatchila and it's supposed to be, and you don't realize the churban otzum embedded in that, then there's also something wrong with you. That's what we have to do. So rasha, the same as when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi got a harasha to write down the Torah Shabbat Ksav, the Torah Shabbat Peh. If you don't understand the churban that took place when that happened, the churban of writing down the Torah Shabbat Peh. We think it's a lechatchila, tak, we take it for granted. Women going out and work, we take for granted. You have to cry every morning your wife goes out to work. That's what he said. Grossness, man. And he wasn't one that wasn't the emotional sort, you know. shed a tear at least. Kesherotz gedel Israel lahachzi atorah leyishana ulahakim yeshivas v'dor shel talmid echachomim ayoshim v'ilu shel Torah. When we had to rebuild, remember, the Holocaust, to a large extent, wiped out most of the Gedolei Ador, the Hasidim, the Tzaddikim. There was very little left of the Torah world after the Holocaust. We don't know, we've forgotten, or we don't know what the world looked like after the Holocaust. How little Torah there was in the world. Well, what Torah was there in America? Orthodoxy was finished, it was gone. South Africa, there was avada nothing. England was barely breathing. Eretz Israel after the Holocaust? Reports told me he grew up in Tel Aviv. They didn't have kosher food. It was hard to find kosher food in Tel Aviv when they were living in Tel Aviv. There was nothing left of Avigdor, and I told you, he davened that at least one of his children should turn out to be Shomer Torah mitzvahs. Not a big tzaddik or a Talmud Chacham. Just let one of my kids be from Hashem. That's what he wanted. That's all he could expect. What was left? We don't realize. We don't remember. We look at the Torah world today and you see orthodoxy and ascendancy and Baruch Hashem, yeshivas and thriving. There's yeshivas across the road from the Kremlin. 70 years ago, yeshivas in this country, there was nothing. There was starvation in the yeshiva world. There was nothing left. And lat lat, it was rebuilt. And they saw that was the necessity. That's how it's going to work. And by the way, in the secular world, it's not that much different either. You show me a secular family today that can survive if the wife doesn't work. Show me a secular family today, if the wife's not working, they can survive financially. Unless the husband's some big gvir or whatever, but that's unusual today. If a husband's working a normal job anywhere in the Western world, they can survive on a husband's salary. Show me where. The woman have to work. The woman have to work in this country as well. This country as well, the woman have to work. Otherwise, you can't survive. So, but that was the Irasha. You want to makim a generation. You want to turn things around. Then after they get married, hey machlitin lepoil b'mitzvus nefesh leshlech his bnei Yisrael letafkid chashuv leseis b'ol panosim. The woman got given this new tafkid. The man never becomes not responsible for panosa. By the way, it's still his responsibility. She's just doing him a chesed. B'schut kevir zu baruch Hashem tzamach doreinu dor ha-kailim v'yishivos. In the schus of this hirasha baruch Hashem, the noichach gidl oylam ha-yishivos ein ze kiyom mesiris o ha-krovel in Yisrael ben Torah kebaava. Today it's not a big unusual mesiris nefesh to marry a ben Torah. Sarah Shneira started Beis Yaakov because she recognized that there would be no one to marry the bnei Torah. No one wanted to marry a yeshiva bochan. Who wanted to marry a guy who's going to sit in Koilol? Who wanted to do that? There was no one to marry the boys. That's why she saved Klal Yisrael more than the Rosh Yeshiva saved Klal Yisrael. The Varun Kotler said. The person who was responsible for more Torah in this world was somebody who never learned Torah in their lives. Sarah Shneira. If it wasn't for her, there wouldn't be an Olam HaTorah left today. Who's going to machanach a generation of girls that was going to makabel this enormous mesiris nefesh? Hayom ha'inyan boru movon lekol beis Bais Yaakov. Every Bais Yaakov girl today, well, this was 20 years ago. It's not so clear today. A lot of them don't want to. Shenes rak leben Torah. Most girls today want to marry a ben Torah. Oysen noshim sheyotzi lefanes es ba'aloy heil yotzi la'avoydus ha'kreves lalameinu. Those women that went out then to work worked in environments that were close to the Torah world. They worked in frum stores, they worked in schools, they worked in ganim, they opened their own ganim. The work they did didn't, as the greats have explained, didn't destroy their Yiddishkeit, didn't destroy who they were. What was driving them? A pure thought. I mean, Moshe Nefesh for Torah. The Torah, they were doing the Rotzon Hashem. The Torah guarded them. And they were able with Siyata Dishmaya to stay faithful to the ways of Hashem. Today, we'll see Matz Hashem, whatever. The world's changed a little bit since then. You guys are busy with the Tosfos still. I'm just running to a bris. I'm coming straight back. I just going to say,
this is quite hard.
This is very hard. Very hard.